Well, good morning, West Texans. All you good, fine, friendly folks out there who wish you were. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. We're taking you till 1 o'clock here in the Arctic Air Studios. We'll turn morning into afternoon with you fine folks in San Angelo on ESPN 960 in Lubbock on Talk 103.9 FM, News, Money, Sports, and wherever you may call home listening on the app, where you can get it at kkm.com and turn on the notifications. You could be dialing us up right now. You know what we do, and it's the last time you get to do it here on the show. It's Bandwagon Wednesday, the ones you're on, the ones you're off, sports or otherwise. 806-855-3712 to join us there. We'll have your question of the day here in a few minutes. And then baseball last night. Man, have you ever prayed harder for a rainout? Have you ever just said, please, more lightning, more rain, get on the bus, go full Melvin Watkins, and get the hell out of Abilene? And that's exactly what Texas Tech did after just cruising along through three, wheels off fourth. You're down 6-0, runner on second, one out, and they stopped the game, thankfully, and now they'll figure out what to do with this thing. Abilene Christian will be in Lubbock on the 9th of May. For another makeup game. So we've got baseball to look at and the nightmare that you may have avoided there. NFL draft getting closer. So much steam and smoke about Tyree Wilson going overall number one in, defender. Is that just part of the lies that go on around the NFL draft? Is that part of the misinformation campaign? I guess we're going to know here in a little bit. So we've got that. Of course, Big 12 golf underway. Ludwig Aberg. Going crazy yesterday, one of the greatest rounds in the history of Big 12 golf. Texas Tech ever. He's looking for back-to-back titles. That's a lot of show. We didn't even mention the Texas Rangers, and the bullpen is problematic right now. They blew another big lead yesterday. That's a show right there, but we won't stop. We will bring you, from the Avalanche Journal, the pride of Tulsa, Texas. One, Don Williams will join us in hour number two of the show. So text in 806-855-3712. Follow the station on Twitter at Talk1039. Me, I'm just Ryan Hyatt at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. The show never ends. I say again, if you're not following us on Twitter, it's probably a good idea to do it over the next two to three shows so we can continue to conversate with you, as Friday will be the final Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro show. At Ryan Hyatt Media, we do the daily broadcast. It's fun. It's online. It's interactive. Usually around 6:30. You can get all of that on my website, TheRaiderland.com. He's Rob Bro, one-third of the Gambling Gauchos, the one and only host of the Rob Bro Show, which you can get for a few more days from 1 to 2 on Talk 103.9 FM. Pulse is the people, king of hat of the day, and literally a man of many hats. Happy Wednesday. We've this week seems to be flying by.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, we are settling in last night for baseball. Going to take in some baseball, enjoying the first three innings. Zane Pettit just cruise control, man. He's got five strikeouts, I believe, through three. I literally get up for maybe 10 minutes, and I guess I was procuring dinner at that time, getting some victuals inside my belly. And once I return, it was right before the delay, and it was 6-0. I'm going, what in the hell happened? I'm not, is it too much hyperbole, and we'll get the question of the day out, that Texas Tech, literally Mother Nature, may have intervened and saved Texas Tech's postseason chances last night? That another loss like that would be really crippling.
I mean, I still think the conference games are much more important than these midweeks, but...
You want to believe that at this point, but... You're skating on some really thin ice right now.
West Virginia's up to 18.
Yeah.
I mean, you have... I mean, if you win the West Virginia series, you'll be in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, not if you lose the Kansas State series. I think just winning the West Virginia series is not going to be enough.
Yeah. Maybe.
You've got to do some other things right now. But what we do know is that apparently the good Lord on the side of the Red Raiders last night. So, in that game... could be continued when they come to Lubbock from that point. They could call it a no contest. If I'm Tim Tadlock, I'm telling Abilene Christian, do you ever want to play us again? The game is a no contest. Go find somebody else to beat after that. All right, we'll get your thoughts. Here's the question of the day. Since we've only got a few more shows left here, one of the more polarizing topics that ever comes up around here. Poor Rush Limbaugh used to get hit with a stick to politics crowd. stick to the politics. We'd start talking sports or different things, and immediately the messages would come flying. Stick to politics, man. All right. There's a lot of people that hate when we delve into uniform talk, which is exactly why I am choosing to delve into uniform talk today. We just had the City Connect unis that some people hated, some people didn't care, and some people really liked those Rangers uniforms. And particularly Adolis Garcia seemed to really like it. Give us top three uniforms, top three sports uniforms, now and all time. So you could do two separate sets of three if you want to. You could do three all time, you could do three current. But the best sports uniforms that are out there. I am a 100% uniform junkie since I was a kid. Since elementary school, since I could color,
oh yeah,
I have been I was just a junkie. My dad used to make, he would draw like, you know, a flat football player, you know, with a blank uniform that I could design anything I wanted to on the uniform. It was really cool.
Oh yeah,
we would spend
hours doing building new college football games, teams in yep. the NCAA. What was that? 06, I think you could do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mix, match, create, everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of course.
Expansion teams.
You know, we had to draw our own. My version of that, Rob, before, you know.
Oh, we did that, too, when I was younger, but.
The electric football that was really popular in the 60s, 70s, 80s, on whatever. You know, the metal field that vibrates and the players never go where you want to. But it was awesome because sometime in the early 80s, I think Mattel, maybe it was Mattel Electric Football. Anyways, Rob, you could order the players, you know, and they would ship them to you blank. And me and my brother and my friend, we would hand paint our electric football players the uniforms we wanted. Like I had a team that I hand painted Texas Tech. I did another one because their uniforms were so cool. I did SMU. You painted before you could create it on the computer. You just painted your own. It was awesome. So today, top three uniforms in sports, now all time, and however you want to spin that. And for those who hate uniform talk, this is just not your day. I hate to break it to you. Bandwagon Wednesday. The bandwagons you are on, the bandwagons you are off, sports and otherwise, have several we are on, several we are off to today, at least one major one we are off. A lot of Texas Tech baseball that we'll visit with as we go through. And then whatever else may be on your mind. Don't hesitate because literally today, tomorrow, Friday, your last chance is to text in to the Arctic Air Studios, 806-855-3712. All right, let's get it rolling. He got the first text in of the day. No surprise. Our resident trucker in Raiderland, it's Doughboy Guns Up Trucking. Headed to the Big Easy, gonna load up, gonna go to South Texas after a cruddy morning. Had a flat that wasn't repairable on a tire that I just bought. Actually bought the set of 8 in August. Then a used tire, $475. Bad, bad, bad week. That is a bad beat. There's nothing that rankles me more. And we go through tires out in my neck of the woods. We're hitting stuff on dirt roads all the time. And it just burns me up. At the risk of being crass, I am kind of curious. Rob, what do you think a set of 8 tires for a semi cost?
Oh, I have no idea.
Do you think Doughboy would be kind enough to let us know?
A set of 4 for my truck is between, you know, $600 and $800.
I was about to say, you're probably tickling $800 easy on our trucks, and you put on 4 new. Doughboy, if you still got your ears on, come back with that price tag. I'd be intrigued to know. Texter on the text line, 806-855-3712. Texas Tech baseball. It's not about winning or losing. It's about the friends we made along the way. I still really like this Tech baseball team. That's what's killing me about what we saw last night and just a little bit of the precarious nature somewhat. That just get in the NCAA tournament, but please don't make your life harder than it needs to be. And who knows, if they had kept going last night, Tech might have won that thing 12-10. You had a few starters that were not in the lineup. You were, you know, rocking and rolling, like we said, with Zane Petty until you weren't. I still feel really good about the team. It's just, man, don't give them any reasons not to love you. Texter, how in the world do the mock draft experts keep doing their job? They are wrong more often than right. You also just described, how in the world do bracketologists, not named hoopshd.com and brackenville.wordpress.com, keep their jobs? Why? How? Because no, if nobody's right for the most part, then nobody's wrong. The draft is hugely bet on now. And there are a lot of bookmakers that are refusing to take action on it because it is an information event, not a contested sporting event. And a lot of the big books aren't doing it anymore. And who knows what you believe. The mock drafts 15, 20, 25 years ago were pretty easy. You just looked around. Okay, who's picking where? What do they need? What do they need a running back? Well, who's probably the best running back? Okay, well, they'll probably take the best running back. Now it is so wild. And the NFL, I think, wants it out there wild. They want this talk. They want...
So do the sports books.
Yeah, well, the sports books, a lot of them are not taking action.
Yeah. Oh, they're terrified of Will Levis.
You know, a lot of the sports books are just not booking the draft right now. Now, DraftKings, FanDuel, but a lot of the brick and mortar, like South Point in Las Vegas, they won't do it.
Now, hold on. When I say, when I'm talking NFL and I say sports books, I mean the corporate shills.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
The FanDuels, the ones that are out there doing huge props on the draft.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about legitimate sports books.
But, yeah. The league, though, wants this. I guarantee you there's a memo somewhere telling the teams, put out as much information, plant as much crazy information on useful idiots in the media, and get out everything. Because the NFL right now is in an awkward spot. They're in bed with sports betting, and they just suspended five people for engaging in sports betting at the wrong place, ostensibly, there at the training facility. Because it's different if they go to the Whataburger and place a bet on their phone. But if they do it from the facility. Did you see the SEC baseball scores from last night? Dog days of spring for college baseball. I saw a few of them. I'll admit I kind of checked out last night after Texas Tech ended up postponing. So what did I miss last night? Let's go back and see some of the SEC scores that the texter is referencing here on the midweeks. Let's see. Nothing there, nothing there. Tennessee over Bellarmine. 19-1. That's good, right? Good competitive game. Louisville beat Kentucky 7-0. Arkansas got beat by Missouri State. Oh, man. Football guy in Fayetteville upset 8-4. And a football guy in Baton Rouge upset. I did not see this. Nichols beat Baton Rouge last night 6-5. Well, they're obviously out of the tournament, right? I mean, I know that they're kind of ranked like high at number one, but a loss to Nichols, that's probably about a 60 RPI drop, I'm thinking, for LSU. They're going to have to really play clean to get in at this point. We've got to take the timeout, 806-855-3712. Question of the day, top three sports uniforms now and all time. Bandwagons, you're on. Bandwagons, you're off. It's our final Bandwagon Wednesday here in Raiderland. We'll take the break. You jam up the text line, 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. I have one or two of these after the show today. I haven't really decided. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Got you till 1 o'clock here in the Arctic Air Studios. 806-855-3712 to text in. Question of the day. Top three uniforms now. Top three uniforms all time in sports. Bandwagon Wednesday. The ones you're on, the ones you're off. Tech baseball mercifully rained out last night. And then whatever else may be on your mind. 806-855-3712. Two, you got us till 1 in San Angelo on ESPN 960 and Lubbock. It's Talk 103.9 FM, News Money Sports. Rob Bro Show 1 to 2. So Friday will be our final show here on Talk 103.9. There have, Rob, been more than a few people who have been with this station in many incarnations over the years, going all the way back to the 90s, Williams and Hyatt Show, Jack Del Sportsline, then later on Steve Dell, the Rob Bro Show, countless other programs. One of those consistent voices joins us now. It is Robert, the unrepentant Notre Dame fan for no real reason whatsoever. Robert, happy Wednesday. How are you, my man?
Happy Wednesday to you too, Ryan. I probably won't be able to hear the radio show tomorrow or Friday because of I'm going into Dallas to the draft party tomorrow and then the Rangers Friday and Saturday.
Man, you're having a bigger weekend than me and Rob, and we work in the business.
Yeah, but whether it's been the old show that you did our man, I just lost his name.
Don Williams. See, it happens all the time.
Williams, yes. And you and this show, I've always tried to support it. It's just sad to hear that you're going back off.
Well, we'll still be out there. We're going to be doing radio, just not doing radio on a radio station. So you'll still be able to find us, theraiderland.com. Follow on Twitter, at Ryan Hyatt Media, at Rob Bro Show on Twitter. We'll still be doing daily shows, highly interactive, that you can be a part of.
Okay. Well, like I said, it's sad that this platform is gone, but like I said, I'll look for you, and hopefully I can find you.
You will. We're two large individuals. You'll never miss us. Robert, thank you so much. And Robert is sort of like representative of everybody out there. That's the way we feel for all you guys that have been out there. Robert's just been one of the ones who literally over two plus decades, going back into the 90s, has been one of those who's been out there in the audience.
I think he's called every show that's ever existed here.
Truly he has. And if he didn't, man, you probably didn't have a show very long.
Yeah, right. And if he didn't call for a few weeks, you started to worry about him.
And pretty much on the same phone since 1992. Pretty much. Same phone. Texter, so I haven't listened in a few days. What's going on? Are y'all gone? I'm here. Are you here?
I'm here.
Are we gone?
No. I mean, I'll be in Lubbock.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Gone? Is that like...
We're not dying.
No, we're fine.
Yeah.
Texter says, top three uniforms, no particular order. All right, I guess they're kind of in an order. Are the Love You Blue Houston Oilers, the Alabama Crimson Tide, and the LSU Tigers home whites, I assume is what they're talking about on that one. They're at Death Valley.
If I'm going classic collegiate, I think I'd lean Penn State over Alabama. I just prefer the blue and white to the red.
Okay, it's just a pure color.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same uniform.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much the same.
I just prefer the blue. I like the stripe, too.
Okay, for random, so like growing up, 70s, 80s, when they were advertising TVs, they would have like a fake picture on a TV, in a magazine ad or even whatever, and it would look like Penn State playing Alabama because it would be a blue team with a white helmet and a, red and white, and it was this nondescript. I was like, well, it's obviously Penn State playing Alabama right there. No, couldn't show anything. Texter talking about how do they keep their jobs doing mock drafts, says that explains Ron Roberts and all the other weather guys.
There was one today on a popular newspaper website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna out him. He wrote a legitimate news article. This is a journalist,
right? Big J journalist.
This isn't some
upset. He doesn't have the blue check mark anymore. Journalist.
This isn't some guy out there, sports radio guy or blogger, draft aficionado. This is a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
He writes a legitimate article after doing a 7-round mock draft on the mock draft engine from Pro Football Focus or whatever.
Okay.
Not PFS. The Pro Football Network.
Okay.
And in this fantasy world, Tyree Wilson fell in the draft because this engine does not know that he's going to go in the top 5. And so he writes this legitimate news story that Tyree Wilson might fall in the draft due to injury. And the Dallas Cowboys are going to have an opportunity to pick him up at 26 because this fake this fake.
Good heavens.
This fake website mock draft had it falling. It's like, do you not have anything else to do? Like, I understand if I wrote that story, that makes sense. I'm just a guy out here doing content. He's a legitimate journalist, and that's what he's fallen to.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Texter says, Robert, the ultimate sports radio fan. Fact, if we had like a Hall of Fame, you know, like career achievement award.
100%.
For like longtime callers or something, you'd get the Robert.
First ballot.
You're getting the Robert Award here.
Oh, yeah, we're naming the award after
him. Plainsman in Dallas is off a bandwagon on Bandwagon Wednesday. Off the Texas Rangers bullpen bandwagon.
Man, that's two nights in a row.
Well, really three in the last week if you go back gacking up one against Oakland. Already the old hashtag bullpen is. I had to explain that to some non-Ranger fans last night who were had fiduciary interest in the game. And I was like, you need to understand a hashtag now. Top three uniforms now or all time when it comes to sports bandwagon Wednesday, Tech baseball. You name it, we'll talk about it. 806-855-3712. Quick timeout. Jam up the text line. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Brough. Thank you very much. 11:35, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Brough, taking you till 1 o'clock in the Arctic Air Studios. ESPN 960 in San Angelo. We got you till 1. Lubbock Talk 103.9 FM News Money Sports. And it's the Rob Brough Show from 1 to 2. Question of the day, top three sports uniforms all time, now and all time. You can get on that. We're talking Red Raider baseball. Rain out last night mercifully, and it's Bandwagon Wednesday, the ones you're on. The ones you are off, NFL draft tomorrow. Where will Tyree Wilson end up? Could go as high as second overall. And Don Williams from the Avalanche Journal join us in hour number two. 806-855-3712. All right, so we're talking to Doughboy, our resident trucker in Raiderland. You want to feel better about your tires? You know what you're paying? Here you go. So he cut a tire, couldn't have it fixed. $4,800 to $6,000 plus mount and dismount. And environmental fees, obviously, depending upon the brand. Okay, I don't feel quite as bad. Monty is texting in, been gone for 12 days. Come back to hear this show is ending. Terrible news. Big fan will truly miss this. West Texas forever. Thanks, Monty. Again, I mean, you know, we're not like moving to Australia. Both Rob and I are still going to be around. Huge presence. We're not getting out of media.
No.
No, we're not getting out of it. In fact, we're probably getting even into more media. Mediums? Medias? Yeah.
It's a digital age.
Mm-hmm. Texter says, I'm off the midweek games bandwagon. They are a Tech albatross, but I'm still on the Omaha bandwagon. Just something about this team. Yeah, I mean, there was something about Mary, and there's something about this year, and it's just a funky year. And this team, boy, if just get in the tournament. Just get in the NCAA tournament, and they could do some damage.
I saw a projection as a two seed with Oregon. You go to Eugene.
Go to Eugene.
You're
Eugene.
The two.
Claude.
Alabama's a three. They just lost their ace.
I saw that.
I would not mind that projection.
I don't know that. Well, I say this and watch it just be incredible chalk, right? I don't know that there's any just super team this year in watching college baseball. No, LSU's number one, but
hey,
I've watched them. There was one last night.
There was one last year, and did they make it to Omaha?
No, they did not. So
it's Tennessee, by the way.
Yeah,
they were like 32-1,
completely set up.
Did they lose? They lost a super.
Yeah,
to Notre Dame? Did Notre Dame go to Omaha? Am I lying? Did Tennessee get to? Now hold on.
I need to go back and double check. They lost. They lost their place. I think it was in the Super.
I think it was actually in the regional because then Notre Dame hosted maybe a Super.
Was that it? Okay.
Because Texas Tech would have hosted then. And I was upset because
you
should have beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think that's it.
Texters are on the text line, 806-855-3712. Tech was on their way to a bad beat in Abilene before God had mercy. Just doesn't seem to be any urgency to win every game. Goes back to Sundays and midweeks the last few weeks, says the texter. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's youth. Maybe it's just whatever. Best unis, they say, Ole Miss, Penn State, Texas Tech. By the way, this is not just college football. You guys can go baseball, basketball, NFL, any uniforms you want. Top three all time, top three right now. Ole Miss does have cool uniforms. They're one of the few, because I am the uniform czar, they're one of the few that it doesn't bother me when they bounce back and forth with a couple different shades of blue, that they have that powder blue that goes back into the 60s, 70s that they trot out occasionally. Then they have the Deuce McAllister, more of the Navy look, the Eli Manning look, you know, from the late 90s, early 2000s, that they can go back and forth with that. I really do prefer that lighter blue helmet with the Ole Miss red on it than the darker one. But they're one of the few that they can mix and match that color, and it seems to work for me.
Ole Miss is one of my favorite uniforms, combos and otherwise. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I like what they do. I like the script, Ole Miss.
Yes, very much works for them.
And I like their, I probably like the powder blues that they do better than their.
Than the darker ones?
I would almost say that's their normal uniform now. They use it so much.
Right, that the last probably 5, 6, 7 years I've gone back to it more. Texter, not sure if there was a particular sport, but SMU home football, Chicago White Sox. Which version of the White Sox? You're going to have to help me out on this one because there are like a billion versions of the White Sox. Which ones do you like? And then the New Jersey Devils throwbacks. Devils! Hey, just rooting for my team. Just standing up for my team, man. Go Devils! SMU, great uniform. The Pony Express uniform, for lack of a better era to define it, that was darn near an NFL-style uniform in college football. I mean, that really was about as close to an NFL-looking uniform that you have seen over the years. From the logo to the stripes to everything else, the color combo, crisp, clean, really. God bless Sonny for getting them completely back into that look
that
while he was
Dallas.
There on the hilltop.
That script Dallas they use now is so
I
good.
Love that.
I guess I just like the script.
No, but I love it too. And I didn't think I was going to like it at first, and now it's really grown on me.
It's so good. Hey, the Red Raiders softball team has a script Red Raiders uniform.
Yeah. Solid.
I would not mind seeing that in Tech baseball.
And, you know, Tech has done that. They've had that look at different times over the years.
Larry Hayes maybe had one.
Hayes had a couple of that. He had one with a Texas Tech script. They had a really cool uni. They got it in about 1989 or 90, right in through there. All right, so right then when the Twins were really good, so whoever the uniform provider was for Tech did basically a Minnesota Twins knockoff, the pinstripes, with Tech across the front like Twins.
Yes.
They just said Tech. And that was a great-looking uniform. You can still find a ton of pictures from that era. And I think part of the deal was they gave it, they shipped it to Tech for free. Like they were trying it out or whatever, which was a big deal back then.
I mean,
if Larry Hayes was getting something for free, by God, we're going to wear the hell out of it.
Yeah. You probably still would in the baseball program.
That and the pony shoe. Got the pony spikes.
Oh, yeah. I wore pony shoes for like 2 years because they gave so many away at the garage sale when I was in high school in like 2003.
Yeah.
And those, I wore them for nearly all of high school.
Some of those were probably 10 or 15 years old.
Oh, I'm sure.
Easily.
I'm sure. I had the high tops, the low tops. It was amazing. I got all my cleats for high school football at the garage sale, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, brand new. Adidas cleats.
Yeah, good stuff, too. Nothing wrong with that.
Pony Fila, maybe yeah. They had some Fila were shoes
you a,
as well.
Were you a big-footed offensive lineman at the time, or not an extraordinarily
large? Yeah,
I've
been a size 12 since like freshman year.
Since you quit growing the feet.
Yeah.
Texter says the best athletic jerseys are the Savannah Bananas, and that Tara reminds me of spicy mustard.
Have you watched the Savannah Bananas little docuseries on ESPN Plus yet?
No, but I need to.
I need to check that out. I haven't seen it either. I've watched a lot of their games. I would love to go to a couple.
Oh.
Whether it's on
the
tour
list.
Or, yeah, absolutely.
They need to come to Amarillo. If they would come to Hodgetown,
oh, yeah.
Road trip, hotel room, spend the night, Uber everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Might even Uber up there.
If you don't know who they are, the Savannah Bananas, they're basically the Harlem Globetrotters
yes.
of baseball. And they have another travel team called the Party Animals that they go on tour with. It's really fun.
It's a brilliant idea, but and what's cool about it, it's not new. That barnstorming teams like this go all the way back to the 1910s, 20s, 30s.
Yeah.
There used to be, I'm talking like 75 years ago, maybe even longer, there was a team called the House of David. And they were a barnstorming baseball team, and they all grew out the beards and the long sideburns and everything else, like you might see with a Hasidic Jew or something like that. That was kind of the shtick.
Right.
And they would play pro teams. They would play minor league teams, but they would play what we would call now MLB teams too. It was a huge deal. And it's kind of cool that they have recaptured this there with the Savannah Bananas.
They also play under their own rules.
Right. Yes.
So it's every inning is a point.
Yep.
So if you win the inning,
you get a point.
You get the point for the inning. So if you score 10 runs in an inning, it doesn't kill the game.
Yeah. There's still a reason to. It's still a close game.
And then if you walk, you just start running, and every player in the field has to touch the ball before they throw it back in.
I love watching the videos.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is. The perfect description is the Harlem Globetrotters on baseball.
Right now they have a center fielder playing with stilts.
Yeah. I've seen he also pitches occasionally.
Pitches and hits, yeah.
Texter says three great uniforms: Miami Dolphins white, Penn State white, Texas Techs in the Under Armour era. See, and I would say Techs in the Under Armour era have not been good. They need to change a few things. I still hate the number font.
I prefer,
and I hate how small Texas Tech is across the front.
Yeah. Their current uniforms, I hate. I hate's a strong word.
Yeah.
But I like the Under Armour throwback, I think, looks really sharp. I would make the chest font bigger.
I love the fact, like, ESPN only has one picture at ESPN.com of Tyree Wilson. It's the TCU game in the throwback white. And that could have been in 1977, 1982. Yeah. You know, that you could have had that 1966. That could have been, you know, Texas Tech playing against Sonny Gibbs and the TCU Horned Frogs. Have you noticed that, by the way? That's the only picture they seem to ever put up on ESPN.com of Tyree Wilson is that game.
Might be the only one they have.
Probably so. Let's see. We got a really long one here on the text. We'll have to hit it when we come back. You guys jam up the text line.
Is that a sonnet? What is that?
It's actually an iambic pentameter. They're really raising their game in the final three shows of this deal. 806-855-3712. Top three uniforms all time. Any sport, now, current, all time. Bandwagon Wednesday, the ones you're on, the ones you're off. Take baseball on your mind. You get in, we have fun. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Breaux.
Musburger's Action Update on Talk 1340. Check out VSiN's catalog of original podcasts, daily and weekly programming to keep you in the know when you're on the go. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
NBA playoffs last night. The Hawks beat the Celtics 119-117. Boston was favored by 14. Atlanta paying plus 650. The over was 236. Boston up 3-2 in the series. The Nuggets eliminated the Timberwolves 112-109. Denver was a 10-point favorite. The under 221. The Suns eliminated the Clippers 136-130. Phoenix was favored by 12.5. They covered by 6.5. The over 266. Tonight, the Knicks can close out the Cavaliers, but Cleveland favored by 5.5. Memphis favored by 4 at home against the Lakers, but LA up 3-1 in the series. Get the latest lines and more at vsin.com.
Final segment, hour number one of two, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Rowe, taking you till 1 o'clock in the Arctic Air Studios on the final Bandwagon Wednesday for Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Rowe. Got you till 1 on ESPN 960 in Lubbock, Talk 103.9 FM, News, Money, Sports. Question of the day, because we can, give us your top three uniforms all time, top three uniforms right now. Any sport, doesn't matter. Bandwagon Wednesday, ones you're on, the ones you're off, and then baseball on your mind. Don Williams in hour number two. So jam up the text line with your thoughts today, 806-855-3712. All right, deep breath. Here we go. A voluminous missive from one of the texters, Rob. Old uniforms, New England Patriots, white helmets, Patriot logo, player hiking the ball, red jerseys, white pants. It's weird. I actually think of the Patriots more in the white tops with that uniform than the red. Denver Broncos, old school, navy helmets with the Broncos snorting, orange jerseys, white pants. Yeah, give me the Orange Crush look. I know they didn't win a Super Bowl in it, but come on, it's so much better. Modern day uniforms, Arkansas with the crimson helmet, the running Razorback, white crimson tops and white pants. That they're other than when they jack it up with some of the stripe changes, and again, a great classic uniform from the 60s, 70s, and 80s that they didn't need to mess with. Just leave it alone. Michigan, normal helmets, dark blue jerseys, yellow pants. Yeah, I mean, that's darn near formal wear. Coronado Baseball, scarlet ball caps, the white block C, scarlet jerseys, white pants. I may be partial, says the texter. I like the older Coronado look, a gold brim with a red top and a gold script C. Not the block, but like a cursive-looking C. John Dudley, if you're out there, you know what I'm talking about, and I still have one.
They've got some great baseball uniforms right now.
Do they?
Yeah, it's the kind Mustangs? Of a throwback look.
Good. Side note, I don't like MHS, but I always like their classic look with a white helmet, red plainsman, red tops, tick of Columbia blue and white pants. How'd they screw that up? Okay, amen. I probably shouldn't be talking about this as an unrepentant Mustang, but the plainsman look, 70s, 80s, into the 90s. They're little pink and baby blue colors, but the white helmet with the red Plainsman logo, there's not another one of them in the state. That's it. You're it. Be it. Nothing else. None of the blue helmet. Nothing. The white helmet with the red on top of the Columbia blue tops, white numerals with the red stripes, and then at times they wore red pants. Usually it was a white pants. You know, with the blue over it. And then their road uniform had the red numbers on the white. Again, a great look. Return to it. Go forth and sin no more in the world of uniformness, Plainsman. Texter on the uniforms. Number one, Astros Tequila Sunrise. Falcons 66 throwback with the red helmet. I would give you Falcons all the way through the 80s and into the Dion years of the 90s, great uniforms. Expos, Les Expos, 1969 Powder Blues, which they carried on for years. Honorable mention, Tex, 2014 Black Lone Star Pride uniforms. Ugh. Yuck. Ugh. Dreck. Ugh. On the Texter, I'm on the Pirates, our playoff contenders bandwagon. Can't wait for the Rangers-Pirates matchup in May. Hopefully there's going to be a lot on the line when those two get together. Texter, Pony Express had to have NFL-style uniforms. They were making NFL money. Nicely played. Very well done right there. Texter was talking about the White Sox. For the White Sox, the home unis or the City Connects. It's difficult to go wrong with black and white. Excellent logo and pinstripes. Yeah, I like the 50s into the 60s go-go socks look, where you had the big S and then the O up top and the X, you know, kind of down on the bottom. That was a good look. They, Rob, were you ever a big fan of when the White Sox went to the wide lapel collars in the 70s and they wore shorts? Yes, the White Sox wore shorts under Bill Veeck.
No, I don't remember
for
that.
A period of time in the 1970s. Nothing like seeing Chet Lemon striding to the plate in shorts.
In shorts. The group chat's blown up right now.
That can't be good. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. They just get a bunch of all caps Ludwigs and some acronyms. So apparently the Texas Tech golf are doing some big things right now.
And I
think as a team, they're storming.
They are. They are paired with Oklahoma. Oklahoma got out in front to a big lead right now. Texas cut it on the latest score update to a 6-stroke lead. Oklahoma for the day. Both of these playing holes 7 through 10, basically. They are 1 under for the day, are the Sooners. Tech is 6 under for the day. So you've cut it to your +3, their -6. And Aberg today is 1 under through 7. He's 15 under through the tournament, trying to become the first player to ever win back-to-back Big 12 golf, men's golf championship titles. Man, I tried to go back and look at the old Southwest Conference individual titles, and it's like the conference doesn't exist on golf on the internet. I know it's there somewhere, but I was trying to find, you know, some of the last, you know, just go back and see some of the individual titleists, like Justin Leonard, who won out here. I think they played the Southwest Conference Championship at Lubbock Country Club that year he won. So Justin Leonard. Anyway, long story short, I'm trying to find out who's the last back-to-back period Southwest Conference or Big 8. In Big 8 and Southwest Conference, both great golf histories. It's easy to forget the Southwest Conference was so good with Texas, with Houston, Texas A&M at different times, that you had really SMU, some guy named Payne Stewart played golf at SMU. I'm trying to find out. Give me Big 8 in Southwest Conference, and now tell me how far back do we have to go to back-to-back individual titles?
Yeah.
I am on the Aberg bandwagon. He will finish top 10 in a PGA event this year. Later on this summer, he will finish top 10 in a PGA event. I'm on that bandwagon. You guys get on the text line, 806-855-3712. Top 3 sports uniforms all time or currently, Bandwagon Wednesday, Tech Baseball, Don Williams next hour. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, featuring Rob Bro.
Excuse me, I believe you have my stapler.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland.
Welcome back. Hour number 2, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Congrats to us. We've done it again, but not many more times. We have turned morning into afternoon with you fine folks here in the Arctic Air Studios. Got you till 1 o'clock on ESPN 960 San Angelo and in Lubbock. Talk 103.9 FM, News, Money, Sports. It's Bandwagon Wednesday, the ones you're on, the ones you're off, sports or otherwise. Obviously, question of the day. We're talking uniforms because we can. Give us your top 3 sports uniforms all time, top 3 current, however you want to break it down, you have fun with it. 806-855-3712 to text in. Baseball on your mind, they were losing when the rain came and the lightning came, and luckily that ended that in Abilene. We'll see how they choose to either continue the game, call it a no contest, or what they do coming up on the 9th of May. NFL draft tomorrow. A lot of wind in the wire about Tyree Wilson. Could go as high as number 2 overall. We got all that plus Don Williams coming up this hour. He is Rob Bro at Rob Bro Show on Twitter. Pulse is the People King of Hat of the Day, a third of the Gambling Gauchos, and the solo host of the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2 on Talk 103.9. I'm just Ryan Hyatt at Ryan Hyatt Media. We come back in the evening with the daily broadcast, usually around 6:30. Highly interactive and fun. You can join us Twitter Live at Ryan Hyatt Media. If you miss anything, go to our website, theraiderland.com, and be sure and join our Facebook page, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland. Easy to do, easy to keep up with me and Rob. We are literally almost everywhere. So we continue this hour. You guys on the text line, please take advantage of the time we have together. We're also now taking in Texas Tech Golf, Men's Golf Championships, Prairie Dunes up in Kansas, where Texas Tech is trying to mount a comeback for the ages. Do we need Jim Nance talking about this one? Do we need Jim Nance talking about the comeback for the ages after being down 22 strokes earlier in the week after round one? Hello, friends. We welcome you into Hutchinson, Kansas and Prairie Dunes, rolling course set in the Flint Hills of the Sunflower State, where an amazing series of rounds being authored now by the Red Raiders as they track down a band of Sooners that hung up a number that many thought would be unreachable, but right now the Red Raiders are reaching it. Let's go on the course to the eighth hole, where Ludwig Åberg has just gotten to 16 under for the tournament. Fred? Fred's not there. I mean, this will be something if they come back and pull this thing off.
They were down or up 22, however you want to say it.
Yeah. Tech gave a stroke back there at the turn. They're now plus 4. So 7 back with basically the back 9 to play. Texters on the text line, 806-855-3712. Iambic pentameter. I guarantee you nobody else has said that phrase in all of radio this week, says Monty. Surely somebody would have dropped in a little iambic pentameter.
Yeah, the momentum tanking there for Texas Tech, but still throwing at everything you have at it.
Yep. That double T is intimidating the OU, I think. Just seeing the double T up close, a mere mortal can't but avert their gaze and not look directly upon it. Question, says the texter. Gentlemen, not us. All this uniform talk has me wondering, how much longer does the Under Armour contract last with Tech? I think, don't get me to lying, I think Tech is in for another like 3 or 4 years on that. That Tech's deal, Rob, remember when UCLA and Under Armour got crossways legally maybe about a year or two ago? And it seemed to me that that was about the time Tech was in the process of re-upping. So I want to say you've got at least 2 or 3 more years left with Under Armour at this point. I think that is correct. Texter also wants to know, who do you guys prefer if Tech changed to Adidas or Nike? I kind of liked it when each sport got to do their own thing, because I think each sport is different in maybe what the people who play that sport want to wear or what company is good at that. And I suppose that is now problematic with big schools, that you want a total sports athletic department contract, that there is this big push that everything, you know, that like Texas Tech, all the uniforms across the board have that Under Armour look to it. By the way, that's not a Texas Tech look. It's an Under Armour look. Make no mistake about it. It's one of the things I don't like about it. But, I don't really care. You know, we had that whole thing a couple of years ago. Was it Mac McClung who didn't want to wear the Under Armour shoes, so he wore his own? Nike.
Fardaws also wore Nike this year.
Fardaws wore Nike. Yeah, I mean, so at a certain point, the kids wear what they want to wear anyways. They're all going to have shoe deals probably in the offing, so it's not really going to matter.
I think it's only an issue in basketball.
I think you're right, because you don't hear about a guy going to such and such football because they're Nike.
And if you wear Nike cleats, you know what you can do? Spat them.
Yep, tape them up,
Nobody knows.
Dude, that's...
I think Mac McClung at least painted his...
To make it look like a UA.
No, just one color.
Well, oh, just...
So you couldn't tell. Yeah.
They did that in the NFL for years. That NFL guys, they might have a shoe deal with fill in the blank, Adidas, or but you know, they wore Puma. So they would tape it up, and they trainers would have the little template of all the different logos that they would spray paint on the tape, whatever the endorsement was. I think Emmitt Smith did that. I can't remember what his shoe, what he wore and what he was supposedly wearing, but he didn't wear what he was repping. They didn't care. Just the logo on. The shoe company didn't care. Now, I don't think that goes on quite as much today, but that's absolutely what they would do.
I would be really interested to see it. Let's say, okay, so Nike, when they got Michael Jordan, they paid his fines for too much red.
Right.
Right? So let's say a high school five-star, one-in-a-million kid skips out on a chance to go straight to the NBA, comes to college basketball. Nike signs him, but he goes to an Adidas school.
Mm-hmm.
Would they pay the school a fine, or would they pay Adidas a fine so he could wear Nike and be visible for an NIL deal?
Probably, if it's the right player, if it's worth the deal. And then I think what you're going to see is I think the schools are going to get away, not get away from the shoe deals, but you're, again, I think it's going to become even more and more individualized where, hey, the coach used to have the deal. It used to be a deal with the coach, right? The Coach K had the shoe deal. Marcia Sharp had the shoe deal with Nike. So, you know, the coach had the shoe deal, particularly in basketball. Now I think it's going to be the player going forward who'll bring his own shoes and wear what you wear.
I think in basketball it makes sense to just do a uniform deal and not with a school. Say, Under Armour provides our uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do whatever you want with the shoes.
Yeah. The shoes, bring your own.
Yeah.
Texters on the text line, 806-855-3712. Top three uniforms all-time sports, top three uniforms right now. You can also get on Bandwagon Wednesday. This is our final Bandwagon Wednesday here in Raiderland, so we want you guys to take advantage of it. And then a little Texas Tech baseball. Mother Nature intervening last night mercifully. Would take down six, giving up six, and the inning wasn't done. There was property at second base when that thing was called last night with one out. Texter says, top three sports uniforms. Number one, New York Yankee pinstripes. Number two, 1960 Dallas Cowboys throwback. Boy, that was a really not much to it, you know. White helmet, blue star. You had the shoulder panel, top star, blue on white, white on blue, and then white pants. It wasn't much of a look. Tex Sram had not worked his magic yet on turning the Cowboys. They weren't the first great pro uniform. The first great pro uniform, by the way, was the L.A. Rams. The Rams of the 50s, with a guy named Tex Sram, by the way, in the front office. The Rams of the 50s uniforms were amazing compared to anything else that was going on in pro football at the time. They also go with the 90s Colorado Buffaloes football jerseys. Those were pretty sweet. Colorado across the front, black and white. You had the it was the dark, basically black. It was supposed to be navy, but it was black. They had gone in the 70s and the 80s. Colorado had gone to a blue. It's kind of a lightish blue and a yellow. It was a bright yellow. They had gotten away from the gold and the black. And then, goodness gracious, I just blanked out on the coach's name. McCartney? McCartney, who ends up tying for the national championship there in 1990. I think it was Bill McCartney, yeah. He put them back in the black and the gold, and they had a really good look. The gold helmet with the – and that's a really cool logo. While we're getting at logos – the buffalo with the CU cut out of the buffalo is a really good work of integrating your acronym or whatever you want to call it, your initials, and into a logo. That's a fine-looking logo that Coach Prime gets to work with. So those are good.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
This just reminded me. Did you see the new University of Cincinnati hand sign they're trying to make happen for the Big 12?
No.
It's the double horns up, but one of them is a U and one of them is a C, and they hold them up together, two hands. It's a double-fisted UC, one upright, one sideways.
Mm-mm.
It's so stupid.
I'm trying too hard to fit
UC,
in.
UC, baby, now we all have hand signs.
No, it's okay. You don't need one.
No.
That was a 70s thing. You don't need one.
You don't, really.
Just show up.
Yeah.
Be here. Be Cincinnati. Whatever. Bring the chili. Bring the skyline. Eh. We're good.
You could do like a... You can't have two hands on a hand sign. I don't know if
now all of a sudden we're
like this,
now we're like throwing gang signs
like
at this
DC,
point.
Yeah. If it's not simple, it's just don't do it. I mean, I get the horn frog.
Yeah.
And I get the sick'em, guns up, pistols firing, whatever. But I don't. Those
no, we're
just
trying
makes
too
yeah.
Hard. Classic BYU royal home uniforms with the added flair of a royal blue helmet is honorable mention. I don't like the blue helmet. I do love the 1970s, 1980s. You know, Lavelle Edwards.
That lightning blue.
You know,
yeah.
Jim McMahon, the blue, the white helmet with the football with the Y in the middle of it. Really, really clean. Clean. Imagine that, you know, the Mormons with a really clean look. But it was, I like that. You know, they tried a couple of years ago, they started integrating in a little gold and a little different, and it just didn't work to me. If you've got a good uniform, don't screw it up. All right, we got to take the time out. You guys jam up the text line, 806-855-3712. You must use the 806. Or it goes to the angry man in Florida. What's he going to do next week when he stops getting text messages? 806-855-3712. Top uniforms all time in sports. You can give us three current, three past, whatever you want to do. Bandwagons, you're on and off. Tech baseball. Don Williams will join us a little bit past the top of the hour to recap spring football, NFL draft, and tech baseball, too. So get on the text line. Do it now. Operators are standing by. Limited time only. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob. Bro. It's 12:21. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro, taking you till 1 o'clock here in the Arctic Air Studios. ESPN 960 in San Angelo and in Lubbock. Talk 103.9 FM News Money Sports. Our final Bandwagon Wednesday with you folks here in Raider Land. Then Rob's show will come up 1 to 2 today. So three more incarnations there of the Rob Bro Show. Bandwagons, you're on. Bandwagons, you're off. Top three uniform in sports all time and currently. Since some people don't like it when I talk about uniforms, why not? One of the final few shows, talk about uniforms. 806-855-3712 will get you in. And then Texas Tech baseball, obviously a rain out, a weather delay last night. We'll see how they pick that up. It'll be interesting to see what they do on the ninth. Tim is in Frisco. Bandwagon, I'm on. Don't leave my daily runs, Hyatt and Bro. Well, hey, man, you can still take us with you. You know, Gambling Gauchos, you can listen to one of the podcasts. You can listen to the daily broadcast. Go to theraiderland.com. That'll keep you company for 30 to 45 minutes. So, you know, I mean, I think what we need to get to here, how long is Tim running? How long are we out there running out there? This is a 2-hour, 3-hour block. I mean, if he's been running the whole time that we've been on and Rob's on, then is an epic run that we're out there doing right now. 806-855-3712 for you guys to join the program. This, that, and the other, as they used to say. A bandwagon I am completely 100% off. Moths. The moths.
These dadgum moths in Lubbock are not moths, Ryan. They're dinosaurs.
They're pterodactyls.
They're huge.
And they're everywhere.
They are everywhere.
City, country, out in the sticks where I am.
And when you slap them against the wall, they explode and dust like a chalk outline.
Yeah, and then you got to clean the wall. I mean, last night, right?
Yeah.
Lying there in bed.
As one does.
As one does. Looking for the sweet slumber to follow. So my wife, of course, she, you know, picks up her phone and is looking at something on her phone. What are moths attracted to for 400, Alex?
Light.
You know, all of a sudden there's like two moths right over there. Now, they choose first to start off with me. Or what he's doing. There ain't nothing weirder than all of a sudden the sensation of a moth landing on your forehead. Like, light? You know? So, then, of course, we have Scout the cat dog, the dog that thinks he's a cat, but occasionally bounces back and forth between the realm of dog and cat. What do you think he's doing with the moths?
Chasing them?
Yeah. Everywhere, anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's one up by that lamp. I can get on that lampshade. I can go through the... I'll just go up the middle of it. And I can come out the top of the lampshade. Ooh, bulb hot. I'll fall down. See if the lamp will fall. Not real bright. No pun intended. Yeah, I am way off the moth bandwagon. And it seems like... And I'm not a... what do you call the insect professors? Insectologist?
Bugologist?
Bugologist. I ain't no bugologist. But it does seem like... Every few years or so, we'll have something like this. But man, it just, they are, they're moths of unusual size, as opposed to rats of unusual. They are moths of unusual size. And they're everywhere, man. Texters on the text line, you can give us some bandwagons you're on, bandwagons you're off. I'm off on a on a few more bandwagons, too. 806-855-3712. Texter says they will miss the show. Well, thank you. But you don't have to miss us, because we're still going to be around. How about, can we be on the Jordan Demarest bandwagon?
Sure.
Coming into Lady Raider basketball, former five-star out of Texas, went to Florida, coming back home to the Lone Star State. A big get yesterday for Lady Raider basketball. Gotta like that one. Also on the bandwagon of what the SEC may do to eliminate fans storming the fields in the SEC.
Oh, no. They're going to put up more bushes?
So there are two proposals that are looking at passing right now. That the $250,000 is no big deal because you live in the SEC, right? That's pocket change. Athletic directors, they can find that in the couch cushions there in their office.
Right.
So two proposals, storming the field, storming the court, but it's really a football thing mainly. The first one is you get the fine. Also, you lose a home game in the rotation against that opponent. So if you were scheduled to play them 2 years from that date, you would then play them on their field in that date. You would lose a home game against the opponent that the fans came onto the field against. I'm loving that one. I like the next one even better. Immediate forfeiture of the game that your fans stormed the field on for winning the game. That the winning team forfeits if the fans storm the field.
That is so lame.
It would only take one or two of these instances for this to end. And it can be done. Nobody storms the field in the NFL. You know?
You're anti-field storming?
100%. Have been for years. Hate it.
I'm pro-field storming.
Oh, I know you are. You're the first one out there.
Well, I wouldn't storm, well, but
you know,
I don't care if other people storm.
Yeah, I hate it. And if I were running a university, just from a fiduciary standpoint, I would hate it too because of the liability that it could potentially open you up to. And if it doesn't stop, somebody's going to end up paralyzed. Somebody's going to end up completely 100% injured on this deal. But those are the two proposals. I am on the bandwagon. The one that will probably pass is the lose a rotation, lose a home game rotation, which basically that turns into about anywhere between a $5 to a $9 million penalty for an SEC school on losing a conference home game as far as what you bring in. Revenue, everything else. So sign me up for some of that. But the immediate forfeiture, that could work well because, again, you'd only have to do it once, and that'd probably be the end of that. Texter, 70s Oakland and gold green softball unis, Lakers actual purple and gold, and the Chargers powder blue white gold trim. Baby blue Chargers is good. The Dan Fouts Chargers of the late 70s, early 80s is better, though. That the electric blue with a little deeper yellow to the, you know, you get away from that baby blue. Those were great.
Agree. That's the best one.
That is such a cool, cool looking uniform. And it was the late 90s when they darkened the Navy. And then that it lost it. It didn't look as cool. You know, when they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Niners, they were in those darker blues. It wasn't as cool.
No.
But the Dan Fouts, Kellen Winslow, John Jefferson, Chuck Muncy.
The dark ones are the third best. I would say the baby blues are the second best. Their current ones are pretty good. They kind of went back to one of the lighter blues.
Yeah. Texter wants to know, did you guys see what Santos said about Adams?
Yes, we did. Probably don't have time for him right now, but
yeah, we got Don Williams coming up. I'll close out some of the show with my thoughts on the whole podcast that went boom and why, like Noren Sodiyasi says, if all you're taking away is salmon and steak, you completely missed the point. 806-855-3712. Jump on the text line. Top uniforms all time. Don Williams is coming up next. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. It's 12:35. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Take you till 1 o'clock here in the Arctic Air Studios on Talk 103.9 FM. Then it's the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2. We got you till 1 on ESPN 960 in San Angelo. Our final Bandwagon Wednesday show here in Raiderland. The ones you're on, the ones you're off, and of course, since some people don't like it when I talk about uniforms, why not take advantage of the time I have and talk about uniforms today? Top three sports uniforms all time and currently. So you can go up to six or whatever you want to do. Tech baseball, Mother Nature, a big fan. They weathered them out and saved their bacon last night in Abilene. In the NFL draft is tomorrow. Much wind in the wire. That Tyree Wilson could go as high as number 2 overall. You can jam up that text line, 806-855-3712. Checking in there at Prairie Dunes, and it's Texas Tech now back up to 10 over as a team. Oklahoma has given strokes back, but not enough. They are now plus 2 for the day, even for the championships, and it's 16 under now with 9 to go for Aberg, who is authoring just an amazing week of golf up there in Kansas. He joins us now, the pride of the AJ, the pride of Tulia, Texas, a man who is been on this station in numerous capacity over the decades. He is the inimitable one, Don Williams. Happy Wednesday to you.
Happy Wednesday to you guys, Ryan.
That was a nice delay there. I was worried for a second that you started watching the golf again. Is it too soon to crown Aberg as greatest Texas Tech men's golfer all time?
Well, yeah, I think so, because I think it depends on what he does as a professional. And I was thinking about this. Last night, as a matter of fact. The very first Texas Tech Southwest Conference championship team in 1959.
John Farquhar and crew.
Important to say, and crew. That team had three members of the Tech Athletic Hall of Fame on one team. John Farquhar, who was a really distinguished amateur. John Paul Kane, who played on the U.S. Senior Tour. And Chris Blocker, who was on the course in the U.S. Open on the Sunday in 1973 when Johnny Miller shot his 63 at Oakmont. You're talking three guys in those players who not only were great players at Tech, but had great careers after Tech. And so I think it's still kind of be determined whether Ludwig is the best.
Well, I mean, we haven't even mentioned Jeff Mitchell, winner of the Phoenix Open.
Mitchell, yeah, who was 18-hole. You know, 18-hole leaders at Augusta in 1980, but I was actually going back and, like I say, looking at that last night, and goodness gracious, there's a story that Golf Digest did 2 years ago on the 1971 Walker Cup where the team from Great Britain and Ireland pulled a big upset on the U.S. team, And there's a picture, of the U.S. team, lined up in two rows of five. And John Farquhar is front and center in the middle row, flanked by Lanny Watkins and Tom Kite.
Yeah, they were decent.
That tells you a little bit about how John Farquhar was regarded. And again, that was 1971, so that was 12 years after John Farquhar's Texas Tech career. He was a guy who, he never played professional golf. He thought there was something cool about being an amateur, and I was one of the best amateurs in America.
I can't remember. Did Farquhar have did he have a construction company or real estate, or am I dreaming that? Didn't mean to throw you the curveball on that. It just hit my brain.
I should know that, but I forget what it was.
Somebody will probably know. Career-wise. How big was Tom Kite's hair in 70? What did that look like?
Not super big.
Yeah.
I guess he'd gotten a haircut, a decent haircut before they went.
The haircut for him before you play in the Walker Cup.
And that Walker Cup in 71 was actually played at St. Andrews.
Man, that's pretty cool
stuff.
That's
where that photo was.
Yeah, Haberg trying to author the first back-to-back individual championships in Big 12 history. I tried last night to find the listings for the Southwest Conference individual men's golf champions over the years. Good luck with that. And when you find it, Don, let me know. It's almost like the Southwest Conference existed pre-internet or something. But I was trying to find out, how many guys had ever done that within the Southwest Conference history. And Bo Carter won't answer my calls.
The thing about it is he's just, unless he does have some kind of collapse and makes four bogeys on the second nine today, or heck, even if he does, it looks like he's going to destroy the Big 12 tournament records because, what is he to par now? Did you say 16?
16 on the last update and still 16 through 10, minus two on the day.
The tournament record to par is 9 under. 9 under. And one of the guys who did that was Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
And the other one was a kid from Oklahoma back in 2016.
And for those who don't know, Prairie Dunes, this is the 13th time they've contested the Big 12 championship there. They've had multiple U.S. Women Amateur Championships there. It's hosted some events. I mean, the course was originally built in the 30s, but it is a big time. I think Golf Digest ranked it like the 25th best course in America. If you're just wondering, the only thing that probably stops it from hosting majors or anything like that on the men's side these days is the length, that they just can't do much about that, with that course. So I don't want people to think that he's on some sort of rinky-dink muni that they're doing this thing on.
No. Yeah, because, that's a regular stop for the Big 12 tournament.
Visiting with Don Williams from the AJ, we transitioned from golf to a little football. The Red Raiders wrapped up the spring out there at Lowry Field. From your takeaways, what was the biggest thing that maybe Texas Tech accomplished during the spring, this first time for Joey McGuire with a full calendar year and everything to work through to get to that?
Oh, man, you gave me a big picture question.
Yeah, I could ask you to drill down if you want to and tell me about the short snappers, but, I figured we'd go big picture.
biggest thing, I guess, one of the biggest things they accomplished was they didn't have any major injuries this spring.
Right. That's what I liked about it. It was pretty boring.
They had guys who sat out the spring because of surgeries coming out of the season, but there were no, to our knowledge that we're aware of, there were no new major injuries where a guy, tore an ACL the last week of spring practice and might be out for a big chunk of the season. There's none of that. But I guess probably the biggest thing they accomplished, and because of kind of what we just described, how many real, really long in the tooth veteran guys like, Tony Bradford, for example, Taylen Hutchings, a lot of those guys, they were very limited during the spring. Like I say, Bradford's one of the guys who was out during the spring, but there are other guys that, because of their age and experience, it's like, we don't really need to see what these guys can do. We know what they can do because they've done it in games a ton. And so they got a lot of experience for the young guys in the spring by design. That's probably, I would say, the biggest thing they accomplished was just giving reps to players who are, you know, competing for those second string spots or in some cases first string spots.
Does the offensive line stand to maybe as a unit make the biggest leap year over year on the, for this program?
Potentially. And, you know, so much of that depends on how, what the guys from Western Kentucky do when the lights come on. Rusty
right.
Stats, the center, who is, I think, a sixth-year guy. Yeah, he's a sixth-year. He'll be a sixth-year guy. And Cole Spencer, the offensive guard, who was out last season, who will be a seventh-year college football player. A lot is being expected of those guys, and naturally so, because Spencer started 44 college football games, and Stats has started 27, I believe is the number. And so they're expected to come in and immediately be, you know, really good. Along with the move of, you know, Dennis Wilburn from center to guard and returning, you know, and return all the tackles, those guys are taking a lot of flack, but they're also going to be more experienced. And all the teams, all the offensive tackles in the two deep are guys who are back from last year. So, yeah, they have a chance to. They have a chance to take a step forward for sure.
Yeah, we'll switch over real quick, NFL draft. At what point last year, Don, did you know you were watching the potential number two overall draft pick in the NFL draft playing for Texas Tech and Tyree Wilson?
I'm not sure I ever thought of him as the number two overall draft pick, but I thought he was special from the very first game he played here.
Yep.
Because if you remember, the very first game he played here was that season opener against Texas in 2020, the COVID year, when they had you know, a couple of those games canceled or postponed or what have you. And I remember him just, as they say, putting a Texas offensive tackle on roller skates and driving him back into the pocket and thinking, boy, you don't see a guy who looks like that, you know, 6'6 and 275 pounds. And, you know, the impressive thing to me about Tyree Wilson hasn't necessarily been his a burst off the edge, but it's been his power off the edge, where if tackles don't have balance, he can really make them look bad with just power bull rush and drive them right back into the quarterback's lap. And so I thought from the very beginning he was special, although it didn't seem like he, after he had that really impressive first game against Texas in 2020, I didn't feel like I saw the same guy for most of the rest of the 2020 season. And it was sort of, you know, last year and or maybe later in the 2021 season and last year when he really started to come on, and he saw the guy sort of on every week basis be regarded the way he's regarded now.
How much credit do you give Tim DeRuiter now? He's got potential back-to-back, you know, top 10 edge guys going off into the NFL from Oregon and now coming into Texas Tech.
And well, and don't forget Von Miller also.
Yeah.
Tim DeRuiter was the defense coordinator at A&M the last 2 years, I think it's the last year that Von Miller was there. So he's actually had three edge guys as high NFL draft picks, assuming Wilson goes where he's projected to go.
Yeah, it's Edge Rush University now for Joey McGuire.
That's how they're, well, certainly how they're selling it, how they're building it, and I think it, you know, can't hurt you on the recruiting trail to be able to play that card.
None whatsoever.
Because honestly, you already hear guys talking about it when they talk about, you know, like Steve Linton, the guy they brought here from Syracuse. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where do you want to be? Come play in Tim DeRuiter's defense and turn yourself into a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, he's Don Williams, Lubbock Avalanche Journal. I hate to end our conversation today on a down note, but we would be remiss, Don. We found out this morning, Kevin Sherrington tweeting, you know, maybe an hour or so ago, that one of our great colleagues and friends in this business and a man who was with us on the Williams and Hyatt Show numerous times and just an amazing guy, an amazing writer, Chuck Carlton, passing away on Tuesday. And Don, I know our paths crossed so many times with Chuck, and we could spend all day talking about what a fine writer he was, but what just a great dude Chuck Carlton was.
Yeah, for sure. just not an ego guy,
no.
Was, but I mean he's a great just a real good reporter in covering the Big 12. Made a lot of trips out here to Lubbock, covering a lot of Texas Tech games. And was, very thorough and dedicated pro. And we were aware that Chuck had health problems
right.
for the last couple of years anyway. So, to hear of his passing was not a total shock. Yes, thanks for putting it that way. But still, just terrible news.
Mm.
To a guy who was, I don't know exactly how old Chuck was, but not, he was not old.
No, I think he's a bit younger than me. One of the things I loved about Chuck, when he started covering women's basketball, he threw himself into that. It wasn't like some people that I saw over the years, Don, I've got to cover women's basketball, or I've got to, they just did a cursory whatever. He immersed himself, and I thought he became one of the top women's basketball writers in America because of that.
Yeah, like I say, it's just a pro at everything he did. Came from, I'm not sure what Chuck's hometown was, but I remember he was a Western Illinois Leatherneck.
Yes, he was.
Which I'd always think about that when I was here. I think Tech played Western Illinois this past year in basketball, and that reminded me playing Chuck Carlton's.
Yeah.
Old school.
Man, just kind of a gut punch, though, to see that news this morning. I wanted to allow you to talk about him because, like I said, all of us have been around Chuck for 20, 25 years, however long we go back on it. Man, it's been a pleasure visiting with you in this studio over these airwaves and in the many incarnations that this little radio station has taken form of since 1996. It's kind of hard to believe, but, Don, I've done this before, so who knows? We may be back in 3 weeks, right?
Right.
They're running out of people to talk me back to coming back, right?
Right.
They got rid of all the people that could talk me into coming back, so I think we're probably safe on this one. But I want to say thank you for always being so great with your time and good with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the invite, Ryan, and congratulations on another great run, and I'm sure you have a you'll continue your run elsewhere.
Yeah, I'll see you at Howard's Barbershop maybe during the lunch hour.
Maybe.
All right. Thanks, Don.
Yep.
Final segment on the Last Bandwagon Wednesday show. You jam up the text line 806-855-3712. Quick break. We'll finish up the day strong. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
People say she's only in my head. It's gonna take time, but I'll forget.
Final segment on Bandwagon Wednesday. Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Get on the text line 806-855-3712. Rob Bro Show 1 to 2 today. You can get more of your bandwagons in then. Top 3 uniforms all time are currently Bandwagon, Tech Baseball. We thank Don Williams for visiting with us. 806-855-3712. Texter on the text line. Baby Blue Montreal Expos. We are family Pittsburgh Pirates in the late 70s and the Brown San Diego Padres. Yeah, the original Padres of the 70s into the early 80s were really cool. I like, though, what they've done. What they do now is not as cool as the Padres of the 70s, and I get it. That Padres look was really super dated, It was hyper 70s. But the look, the combo they have right now, I really like. They went to a look in the early 90s, Rob, kind of a brown with some gray, and they did some pinstripes and that, that bone white, that pale off-white color that you see like the Giants use, vanilla bean or whatever you want to call it. The Padres had a nice look there for a little while in the early 90s too. But, yeah, I'm with you on the 70s look. Texter. Going back to the field rushing, I'd allow one field rush a year. Make it mean something. No more stampedes for beating the Sisters of the Poor in the third overtime. Yeah, amen on that. A texter wanted to know where Don gets his haircut. Same place as I get it. Howard's Barbershop, 34th and University. Drop on by, tell Jerry you said hey, and you heard about it right here on the program. Do we have breaking Josh Young news? And I didn't mean to say breaking.
Well, no idea on the breaking part, but he was hit by a pitch and left the game. I have no idea where it hit him or why he left the game.
Nothing
I didn't
showing
see,
up right
I
now
didn't see
on
it.
The
I
Twitter.
Just was following the game cast. He got hit by a pitch, and then I saw later on he got pinch hit for. So
yeah, looks like the quest to run down OU is not going to happen. Texas Tech now 13 over as a team. OU plus one, and they are now about to negotiate through holes 11 through 14. So it just looks like it's running out of time there. But Aberg is still 16 under, 2 under for the day through 11.
TCU in the clubhouse at plus 17. You're going to have to try to hold on to second at this rate.
Right.
By the way, the Tech women's golf team just got their postseason
destination.
Destination Pullman, Washington, the Pullman Regional.
Turn them loose on the Palouse.
Palouse Ridge Golf Club as the sixth seed.
Nicely done. I just like saying Palouse. I shall miss saying Palouse on Talk 103.9.
That was a good pull. I would have not known that at all.
Yeah. All right, man. We had a blast today. Thanks again to Don Williams. You guys are the best. Two more shows in Raiderland. I'll be back with you tonight. Twitter live at Ryan Hyatt Media, 6:30-ish. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan Hyatt Media. Check out our website, theraiderland.com. Follow us on Facebook, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland. We're always out there doing something. The show never ends. Rob Burrow's show about to embark upon some radio greatness as well. Hit him on the text line. Either or Thursday tomorrow. For Rob, I'm Ryan. We'll see you Thursday in Raiderland.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.